All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic. Check them out on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram. They've got you covered for your trading card needs, so be sure to go check them out. The best part about Zephyr Epic, in our opinion, is that they ship free anywhere in Canada on any order. Over $50 from
the beautiful city of Vancouver all the way to Venice en Quebec.
Okay, I have a feeling I know which city you're going to give me fun facts about.
Venice en Quebec is a municipality in Quebec, but the population 1900. So they got a little community there going on. 1900 people over there. I don't have any fun facts about it. I just like the name. Venice en Quebec, which would translate to what? Venice in Quebec.
I think so.
So there's
it's
not
on the water.
Yeah, it's right on the water, southeast part of Quebec. I might have been there at some point because when I was at the draft, I stayed in Longueuil, Quebec, which was, I guess, just on the way outside of Montreal. So yeah, I'm in the wrong city, actually. So no, I'm completely wrong here. But Venice en Quebec, that's a spot. Yeah, it's in Quebec. I got nothing cool about it. It's by Lake Champlain. Okay.
Great job.
I didn't prepare very well. We were just doing a bunch of live stuff here.
This is episode 300.
Yeah. Episode 300 of the show. But we were just preparing for the live show. Spent like 2 hours doing that. So I just, then you're in a mood here. Greg's going to be pissed. He says you're going to run through this episode too fast. But
we got to get going. We got a short episode today. We're ready for the live show to get going.
Not a lot. You know, it's funny. The old episodes of this show, on the big dates, we do huge episodes. And here we are, episode 300. You want to be out of here in 12 minutes.
Yeah, well, we don't have time today. Got to get going.
Live show went well, though. All the preparation for it.
It did. It did.
I'm excited for that.
DoorDash?
Ding dong.
We're also delivered by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong. Go ahead.
Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is Dave Guadrelli, joined as always by the man who built the place. And we're excited. Live show's getting going on Monday. But there's something important to talk about. And
50% off from President's Choice on DoorDash right now. You can, I just ordered the DoorDash. They want you on the convenience stuff. You get the Dash Pass. I got all my groceries 50% off. I was feeling bad yesterday because I just got the booster shot, my second booster shot. I don't know how many vaxes I've gotten at this point, 15 or so. And I was feeling bad, so I ordered some cans of soup. I ordered some bacon. What else did I order? Some pot stickers and some sweet and sour sauce. 50% off on DoorDash right now.
Some what stickers?
Pot stickers.
Tell me what those are.
They're like little dumpling-like looking things. You know what a pot sticker is, right?
You're going to have to show me that after the show.
Yeah, you only eat pasta.
That's right. I actually had pasta for lunch today. Okay, but like I said, I tried to say, we do legitimately have something serious to talk about, and we wanted to get to this. It was, you know, kind of looking at it, and I don't know. It just felt wrong to gloss over it or not talk about it at all. So we're going to talk about it right at the start of the show. We just wanted to make sure that it's kind of at the forefront of what we're talking about, because, you know, we like to have fun on the show. Everybody knows that, but it is a very serious topic. And these are allegations that have been brought up in court against Vancouver Canucks owner Francesco Aquilini. I do want to start off by saying and making it crystal clear that this is not a criminal case. This is not a criminal trial for Francesco Aquilini. This is a trial to determine if he still has to make payments to three of his four children who are all in university now. I believe aged 20, 22, and 24 are the three children in court right now. So again, this is through the Vancouver Sun, who we suggest you go read the original story by Keith Frazier from. We're not going to get into all of it. Basically, what we wanted to say on the podcast is that there are allegations of child abuse leveled against Francesco Aquilini by his ex-wife, Talia Aquilini, through her lawyer in family court about a case surrounding whether or not Francesco Aquilini still has to pay child support for his children's university expenses.
Yeah. And this sucks. This is episode 300 and we have to talk about this. It just feels like it's unfortunate to always have like dark clouds hanging over this Canucks organization. This is another example of that.
Yeah, it's bad press, right? Like, it's bad publicity, and you know, there's no way around it. Of course, you know, we don't have all the facts yet, right? And it's a legal proceeding. Again, like I said, it's not a criminal case, so there's that as well. You know, it's just something that we don't want swept under the rug, and we don't want to gloss over it by any means. We don't want this to be a story that, you know, like if you think about it, despite what maybe you're seeing from national media, this probably is the biggest story in the sport right now, right? Like
yesterday, yeah. And today, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we definitely have to talk about it. We're Canucks conversation. We have to discuss
it's just hard.
At least what's going on. And of course, you're right. Like it is hard to you know, I guess as they say, just stick to the facts, but that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna read the statements that have been released. We're not going to get into exactly what the alleged abuse was. That was outlined by the kids. Again, like I said, that is on CanucksArmy.com if you want to read it. The original report is on the Vancouver Sun, and then also CBC's covered it. There's lots of different outlets that have covered the court proceedings in depth. We're going to try not to get too deep into that. We're going to talk about more so, I guess, the statement that the Canucks released on behalf of Francesco Aquilini and the statement that the NHL released. We'll start with the NHL statement because that came down this morning before the Canucks statement. This is what the NHL had to say. We are aware of the allegations that have been made in family court proceeding in Vancouver and have been in touch with Mr. Aquilini and his lawyers regarding the same. Clearly, the parties have been involved in a most contentious divorce. Mr. Aquilini has advised us that he categorically denies the allegations. We plan to continue to monitor the situation and, if necessary, will respond as we learn more as events unfold. Now, the statement from Canucks chairman Francesco Aquilini says the following. Francesco Aquilini categorically denies and is outraged by the accusation made by his ex-wife, Talia, in family court today that he has ever abused his children. The couple were divorced and reached a settlement in 2013. Mr. Aquilini has met and will continue to meet any child support obligations required by the law, but he has concerns about the veracity of the information provided in support of financial demands. It is unfortunate that allegations without merit are brought forward for a collateral purpose. He will have nothing further to say at this time as the matter is before the courts.
Yep, and I'll tell you what, I sure hope that it didn't happen for the kids' sake, obviously. Just reading some of those things, and listen, I don't think we're going to give takes on this.
Yeah,
I don't think this is the type of thing that deserves takes. I'm very much looking forward to chatting about the lineup here in a couple minutes, hopefully. I think the listeners want to hear that as well. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. I just think the way I want to leave it, I don't want to comment on this. I think if this happened, it's horrible, but I really hope it didn't happen for the kids' sake. And yeah, it's really tough to read at least allegations, right? I know they're just allegations at this point, but even to hear allegations about the owner of the team that you want to support, it does hurt a Canucks fan a little bit to see it. Well, you know, like I said, I really hope this didn't happen. And not for Aquilini's sake, for his kids' sake and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I'm not giving a take on this. If you want to follow along, it's, like you said, Vancouver Sun's going to do a good job. I know PJ, our friend Patrick Johnson, will be all over this story. Yep. He's actually a real big R reporter. You know, I just like showing up to the rink and talking hockey. So I don't know what to say on this. I think I appreciate you giving out all the details, and maybe that's what we have to do here in a podcast format, but I don't want to talk about
this. Of course,
I think we have to get it out there and explain it, but I don't want to talk about it.
Until
we know more, I guess.
Nobody's going to fault you for not giving a take on this, but it is important that it's discussed. And the one thing that I wanted to add, just to conclude, is that in court, Claire Hunter, Talia Aquilini's lawyer, referred to affidavits provided by the three children and a fourth older child of the couple to the mom, which they asked be provided to their dad, who, remember, they don't want to have any contact with. The children described abuse and inappropriate conduct by their dad, including alleged incidents of physical and psychological abuse, the court heard. Now, the details of that abuse are in the Vancouver Sun article, which you can go read. I just wanted to point out that there were the affidavits in court. And again, like I said, this is not a criminal proceeding. And Aquilini's lawyer in court called this irrelevant to the matter at hand.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to read those on air, but they are horrible to read.
Yeah, they're tough to read, and if those are true, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Let's move on from this. This is a podcast. You can read these in articles more. Let's spend some time on the Canucks.
Sure.
Is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap this up?
No.
We're 12 minutes in here.
Child abuse is bad, and we hope that it's not true.
Yeah, I hope so, too. All right. Switching gears to the lines now, Quads. Let's chat about the Vancouver Canucks on the ice. This is what I think I would like to talk about for now. I think this is what the listeners want to hear as well. Saw some different lines there out at UBC, which I'll tell you what, I'm not on board with the practice out at UBC. They got to get some extra manpower in to Rogers Arena and get this locker room sorted out here. I moved a stone's throw away, literally, stone's throw away from Rogers Arena so that I could walk to practice. Not only got me driving out to UBC, but let's talk about the lines a little bit, because we haven't talked about it since the injuries that have happened. Obviously, the Brock Besser surgery was something that even didn't really come down. We saw that he wasn't at training camp, but then we heard about the surgery since the last episode. So let's start there with that line that is now the top line for the Vancouver Canucks, featuring Connor Garland stepping into Brock Besser's spot. Pearson, Miller, and Garland. I like it. I think that you're getting two of the top 5-on-5 producers of offense now on the same line. Connor Garland, JT Miller, both tied for the Vancouver Canucks lead last season with 47 5-on-5 points. Tanner Pearson's a guy that you can trust defensively, but I'll tell you what, it is going to be interesting to watch that line play together throughout the preseason is what I expect to see, and maybe even going into the regular season, because I don't think you have a question about the offense there. And I'm just worried about the defense. Like, what is it going to look like with that trio? I think we even had these same conversations about with Brock Besser on that line. But at 5-on-5, man, I think they're really going to do a good job creating with that trio.
Yeah, absolutely. And, okay, I got to be honest with you. When I'm looking at these lines, I got to be honest. And not to drive away from you, we're just talking about, because I'm sure we'll talk about that as well. But Linus Karlsson on the third line.
Okay.
Sorry to change gears. I'm sorry. But does Linus Karlsson on the third line surprise you at all? Like this guy's going to... And by all means, Linus Karlsson, Nils Åman, and Nils Höglander were one of very few bright spots in that Calgary game. The one in Calgary where they lost, just like the one at home. But they were shut out. That was one of very few bright spots. Like, that was the Canucks' best line. That line outplayed the Dakota Joshua, Curtis Lazar, Jason Dickinson trio.
I'm going to be interested to see how that fits in preseason. I would like to see it. In a preseason game, I don't think Linus Karlsson's a player that you want in your top nine over a guy like Curtis Lazar or Nils Höglander. I don't think that's a thing you want to see. Heck, I'm very curious to see how he fits with the pace of the play. And it's not going to really be the whole answer come in a preseason game. Like, he's going to have to see what it's like at NHL levels when you're playing with Elias Pettersson. You're going to end up facing some pretty good defensemen on this team. Depending on how they kind of put these lines out there, let's touch on the other top nine line as well, which is Vasily Podkolzin, Bo Horvat, and Curtis Lazar, who's getting that opportunity to go up and play with the Horvat line. Nils Höglander taking shifts on that line. I was a little thrown by seeing this line combination come out, that Nils Höglander was taken out of that spot with Pettersson. Is that what Bruce Boudreau thinks of Nils Höglander? To think that, to me, in my eyes, I look at that and I think, man, Höglander has that spot 100%. He should be playing with Kuzmenko and Pettersson. Like, that's where he should be, or he should for sure be the guy with Horvat and Podkolzin. In my eyes, if you're looking for a top nine player due to these injuries, I don't think that Karlsson's in the conversation when Nils Höglander is available.
Sure.
There.
Well,
it surprises the hell out of me.
Let's not forget that Höglander took shifts, right? Like he rotated in and out with Curtis Lazar. So he could very well be in consideration for that second line spot, right? And also the third line spot. Like, maybe it's still early in the preseason. Let's not forget, yeah. Right? Maybe Linus Karlsson gets a game with Elias Pettersson, maybe just to build his confidence and see what happens. There's a lot of different ways to look at it, I think. I don't think you should read too much into Curtis Lazar playing with Bo Horvat. Like, maybe the Canucks are looking at that and saying, okay, that can be a solid two-way line because you got Vasily Podkolzin on the other side as well.
Fine with that line. It's more to me about seeing Karlsson get the full practice there.
I think that's just to build a guy's confidence, right? Like, they need this guy to hit in the AHL. He's legitimately one of their only prospects.
Yeah, I think the game will probably tell a little bit more on Thursday, right? Now that we don't have a split squad game, I think it's something like Nils Höglander should be getting all these NHL games. If we see a situation where Linus Karlsson is in the lineup in the top nine and Nils Höglander isn't, maybe one or two games, because we do have a decently long preseason here, but Nils Höglander needs to get that run with Kuzmenko and Pettersson to be able to potentially develop a little bit of chemistry to start the season, or at least give him that opportunity to start in the NHL and be given a run to at least look and try and to perform when he's back in the NHL. Because what happens when Mikheyev and Besser are back, right? Does that mean Höglander goes straight down to the eighth? Very, very possible that actually does happen. With Karlsson, I think it's for sure. You know, when those two guys are healthy, Karlsson's in the A. Amon's probably the same way. I'm happy that our boy, friend of the show, Phil DiGiuseppe, talked with us in the summer. He getting an opportunity. I think he deserves it a ton to play on that fourth line or get an opportunity there. But even looking at it, like, I would have thought that DiGiuseppe would have got a shot before Karlsson, even on that, like, Kuzmenko-Pettersson line.
Well, again, let's not read too much into the lines, right? Because Yeah, you're right, but I don't think we should dedicate 10 minutes to talking about
why is the young prospect getting
a chance with Elias Pettersson instead of Phil DiGiuseppe?
In
it doesn't
training
matter.
Camp, you said it, that like it's nice to see Bruce Boudreau put together lines that are actually going to be used
sure.
in the season.
So, well, hang on a sec.
So I am reading into the lines a little bit
well,
more.
Well, now there's injuries, Chris. So now it becomes about, okay, well, these games don't matter, so let's give this guy a shot. Let's see what we have in Linus Karlsson, right? If you're going to play him, you're not going to put him with Jason Dickinson and Dakota Joshua. If Phil DiGiuseppe makes the team, he's playing there. He's not playing on the third line. Linus Karlsson's not making this team, right? So they're using preseason for what preseason is for, if that makes sense. Like, I look at this, and keep in mind, I bet you two of these lines play on Thursday. Not all four of these lines aren't in the lineup
yeah,
on
I'd
Thursday.
Probably, I bet we see three of them, I bet.
Sure, two or three, sure. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be all four. Right?
No.
So maybe the Kuzmenko, Pettersson, Karlsson line that we're all freaking out about gets a night off. Or maybe it could be any of them, right? It doesn't really matter. Again,
sure, but
what I'm trying to say is now there's injuries. So now it's about, okay, let's see what we have in this guy.
Yeah, but all four of these lines, I bet, are going to either play. If you combine Thursday and Saturday's games, all four of these lines should get a chance.
Sure. But if the season started tomorrow, this isn't what the lines look like. That's why I don't think we should read into it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Linus Karlsson's not on the third line. If Bruce Boudreau. Called him Boost there. If Bruce Boudreau needs to win an NHL game, like if opening night is tomorrow night, Linus Karlsson's not playing on the third line. Bruce knows better than
so
that.
So then what you're saying is Karlsson's only there to boost his confidence.
Yeah. It's literally to see what kind of chemistry he's got with Elias Pettersson. It's a preseason game, Chris.
Sure, but then have Karlsson be the guy swapping with Höglander. Why is Höglander swapping with Curtis Lazar?
I cannot believe how much you care about this.
I just think that Boudreau is intentional with the lines that he puts together.
I think so,
but
too.
Even at this point in the preseason.
I think his intent, though, his intentions are different than what you're looking at them as. Like, I don't think his intentions are, we need to win a game and Linus Karlsson gives us a better chance than Nils Höglander.
Okay.
I think you're reading
you
into it
too
much.
You want to have a
much.
Look.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're accomplishing different things with these lines.
Like, you know what? I've been on this roller coaster of emotions with Nils Höglander over the past, like, 5 days, pretty much. And I just was like kind of like, even yesterday being out at UBC, I'm like, nice. He's getting that chance now to play with Pettersson and Kuzmenko. Then I wake up today and he's not. He's being used as an extra forward. I've been on a roller coaster of emotions with Höglander getting a top nine opportunity. So
maybe they're not pleased about him taking two penalties in that Calgary game. That was a joke. I'm
sure.
Pretending to read into things like you are.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I don't think we should be reading into these too much. Look at those D pairs.
I tell you what, I was talking goalies out on Tuesday.
Nice.
I walk in to the rink. All the media's there. I wasn't late, but I wasn't like an hour early like J-Pat. But I'm there, and there's a big opening in the railing. And who is it beside? Freaking Kevin Woodley, of course. Goalie guy. So I'm sitting there. Woodley's telling me about the difference between matte masks and glossy masks and why the puck sticks different and the split second. Anyways, whatever he's talking about, everybody's got new pads. Every time you're with Woodley, everybody's got new pads. But he was, man. I did get some stuff on Thatcher Demko, and I found this interesting. Demko came out so early to work with Ian Clark, and he ended up spending like 2+ hours on the ice for a practice and like working so hard with Ian Clark before practice, as well as Marco Terenius and a couple other assistant coaches kind of helping with shots. Then they get to the end, and I don't know. I've seen the way that they've used Thatcher Demko. Does Thatcher Demko need to be going and doing the conditioning at the very end of all this?
No.
And Woodley was like, he wasn't happy about it. He's saying, like, you know, making a goalie skate like that, that's pretty demanding at the end of, you know, having a huge workout and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, that's really silly.
And it's a little, like, if I was playing sports and it was like, you know, me in high school, it'd be like, everybody's got to do conditioning. But I think with the Canucks, you got to look at Thatcher Demko. You got to think, like, this might be the time where he shouldn't be out there skating lines, maybe, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? Like that was really, I didn't like that from the
practice. I'm surprised you wanted to talk about this. We should have hit the goalie intro for you.
Well, no, I just quickly am getting out because I want to talk about the conditioning a little bit. Like Boudreau worked them really hard. This was, I think that in total, watching them do this back and forth was more than the 40 drills. Like the amount of distance they had to travel, like just like calculating the lines back and forth. I think it was more or at least like the exact same as what the 40s were. They just
Boudreau
didn't
wasn't happy with them yesterday either.
Oh man. Yeah. Cause one time, two groups went at the same time and Boudreau lost it. Big old F-bomb. But, you know, it was good. And then at the end, I think JT Miller, and I think a couple of us caught this because we watched Miller go up to Bruce and I think he like just gave him a bump and asked him if he was going to do one. And then Boudreaux was like, nah, like he wasn't going up and down, back and forth. But let me talk about Nils Amon a little bit. This guy, like, oh, okay. So he's fast. He is fast compared to NHL players. You can see it at practice, right? That's why I think it's going to be interesting to see where Nils Amon fits as the season goes on. I really like him as an option to at least get a shot in the NHL and see what he looks like. Like, there's a reason why this guy played for Sweden at the World Championships. And it wasn't because of the points he was putting up in the SHL, right? I find it so interesting that Nils Amon plays in every game for Sweden at the World Championships. Linus Karlsson, who's ninth in scoring in the SHL, plays in zero games. Nils Amon, who's like 180th in scoring in the SHL, plays in every game. This guy does a lot of things right. He moves extremely well. He's 6'2". I expect him to get some NHL games this year, and that'll be our poll question a little bit later on after the break here, once we get to that point. But yeah, I was very impressed with him and his conditioning stint, and nobody really stuck out as like bad. It was kind of funny watching Kuzmenko's, like, because everyone's like, oh, is Kuzmenko going to be in shape? Oh, I seen Kuzmenko in a t-shirt. He's out of shape. All this crap I see online, people. I tell you what, Kuzmenko's going to be fine. There are some things he's going to work on. Everybody's talking about his shifts being too long. I went out and looked at him. His average 5-on-5 shift, 47 seconds in his first game. Don't worry, people. Kuzmenko, I think, is going to be fine. But after the conditioning, everybody's stretching, and Kuzmenko's like on his back, his feet up in the air. He's like kicking his toes in the air. I don't know what kind of Russian get the air back into your body type of thing was, but like, they worked him hard, and he held up through. It was good to see. I mean, watching that NHL group, they were working hard in that practice, and I think it was a really good practice. Again, I've just been impressed with training camp that Boudreaux's running and practices as well. I just think, I don't know. We've been around this team enough. I think that there's a different look to how things are being done from the coaching perspective with Bruce Boudreaux, and I think it looks better for a team.
You think they look more ready to go?
Sure. But it's preseason. I'm reading too much into anything. So
that's true.
Let's hit the break right quick here, because I don't think you have anything to add
no.
to conditioning. You're too busy writing articles. Our little system. Talk about our system that we got going on. I think it's now that we're both full-time at Canucks Army.
That was pretty good yesterday.
The system is it's good, because I'm at the rink. You're at home. You got the articles. We're tweet like texting all day long.
Yeah, except you never reply.
Well, yeah, because I'm taking videos. People want to see stuff. Only other thing was Tyler Myers returned to the ice. That was good. He was just feeling a little sick. No COVID. Anything.
Travis
like that.
Dermott took a hit. Travis Dermott took a hit in Tuesday's practice. Got to the bench on his own power. Needed help getting to the Canucks locker room. Now, Bruce Boudreaux said that he took a bump and was feeling woozy, so the Canucks told him to go home. He wasn't on the ice today. So just something to keep in mind. It was a Wednesday. We're recording this on Wednesday.
Here's the thing that was weird about it being called woozy, because we were right above it. We were looking straight down at the bench as he went there. Didn't see what happened, and I don't think it was a hit or a block shot or what it was. I think it was just him he skated off really slowly with kind of his head down. He went and sat on the bench for a second, drank some water, spit it out. This is a weird play-by-play breakdown, but this is exactly what happened with Dermott. Goes, sits down on the bench, drinks water, spat it out, and then somebody came over and checked on him from the training staff. Something happened as a few seconds go by, and then he's getting carried off. Like, he's got his arms around two trainers.
Shoulder. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's getting kind of helped off the ice, but I did notice, and I don't know, maybe this was because of the wooziness, but wasn't putting any weight on his left leg. Like, he was putting weight on his right leg, and this could be from the wooziness, it could be an actual injury, but was not putting weight on his left leg.
That's really interesting.
Which, like, and get me, like, I, because we didn't see anything happen. Like, there wasn't a shot block, there wasn't a hit, anything that happened, but I just found it interesting the way that he was going off, not putting any weight on that left leg. Could be nothing, could be the wooziness, could just be something weird, so... yeah, we'll have to follow up with Boudreaux here moving forward with that.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting, I guess, to kind of follow. D pairs today at practice. OEL Hughes was back together. DeKaiser Poolman. And then the other two pairs that kind of rotated were Myers, Burrows, Rathbone, Burrows, and then Shen Myers, yeah. Rathbone, Shen.
I think we'll see this the first four that you talked about on Thursday. I hope we do. I hope we see OEL Hughes in a game.
Oh, OEL Hughes right? has to play together.
And I think we'll see DeKaiser and Poolman as well.
Yeah.
I think that'll be another one, too. I would love to see Rathbone and Shen as well. Like, I'd like to see that top six be the sixth defenseman they go with.
Quick injury report. Actually, let's cut to break. Other side, poll question, then injury report, because we got prospect injury reports as well. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Folks, if you want to advertise with us, shoot us a direct message at Quadrilli on Twitter, at ChrisFaber39 on Twitter. But before that, it's time for our episode 300. Congrats on 300, buddy. Episode 300 poll question brought to you by the great folks at Atlas Goods. Locally owned. You've heard us talk about it before. Locally owned Atlas Goods is the home of Pop Rinds. Go to atlasgds.com. Use promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order. You've heard us talk about Pop Rinds before. They're like popcorn in the sense that they come in a bag, small bag, and then they expand in your microwave or air fryer and give you fresh Pop Rinds like you've never had them before.
That's why you put the popcorn seasoning right on them. You don't even need delicious. To go. There's no pork rind seasoning out there.
Delicious. Good amount of protein in there. Dill it's pickle. A great snack. Yeah.
White cheddar. Pickle.
White cheddar, you're just listing off all the flavors.
There's now. A ranch I've seen out there as well.
Yeah, there's ranch. There's a lot. There's a lot. So go check out.
I don't know if you've ever seen this. They got the Frank's Red Hot Seasoning. You ever had that?
No, I've never.
Oh, that's good. You got to get that at Costco, though, which I'm going to right after this. Excited for a...
There you go.
Get myself a little Polish.
Nice, yeah. A little Costco.
You know run. They got rid of the Polish sausage in the States at Costco?
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, I was worried that would happen here, but it hasn't, right?
Yeah, hashtag save the Polish. It's good. I'm happy that we still have it up here in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some new menu items I heard too down there.
Okay, well,
I haven't checked it out.
Okay, not a Costco ad. Not a Costco ad. So go check out Atlas GDS.
That Costco down here in Vancouver, though. So because the concessions outside, think about
this. This is why we lose sponsors, folks.
No, it's not. This is why we get Costco on board here. Yeah. Costco, like all the Costcos around, you know, the Langley one, the Richmond one, you got to like use your card to get in to use a concession, right? This one, you don't have to. It's outdoors, right? It's out there. You get $1.50 hot dog, boom, Polish, you're good. But this, you'd think that this Costco would be expensive, this one that I live right beside here, and it's walking distance for me, which is wild to be walking distance.
The one next to Rogers Arena. I'm pretty sure Canucks fans know which one you're talking about.
Just saying. So you think it'd be crazy busy, but once you walk through the doors to actually shop, it is like the slowest, most calm Costco out there.
Well, who's driving their car here?
That's what I'm saying. Right? I love it. It's so nice to go in there and shop compared to, I tell you, go to the Richmond one.
Do you walk and lug your groceries back?
I got my wagon.
Oh, yeah, you have a wagon. Yeah, that's my awesome. Wagons,
I walk around Costco with my wagon the whole time.
That's fantastic.
And my wagon's got a cup holder in it, two cup holders. I put a Polish in one. I put a drink in the other. I'm laughing.
Chris Faber telling everybody about his wagon on this episode 300.
Absolute wagon.
Oh my gosh. This is a family show. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Family show.
Good for Polish, lugging the kids around.
That's the thing. I've seen this before too. Some people go to the concession and you have a birthday party going on. You buy 20 hot dogs at Costco. They give you a box to take it away with.
Are you done?
$1.50, 20 bucks. What's that? 30 bucks. You paid for the whole birthday party for food.
All right. Well, you just
that's the
stop.
Price of like two Domino's pizzas.
Okay. Atlas Goods poll question. Our poll question today. Remember.
The Filipino wedding I was at.
You got to stop. No, you got to stop. I'm going to mute your mic. Promo code CC15 at atlasgds.com. Our poll question today. Which of these players will play the most NHL games this season? Linus Karlsson, Phil DiGiuseppe, Neil Zaman, and as always, I'm angry so far leading the vote. 58% of people saying Phil DiGiuseppe, cousin Phil. And I got to be honest with you, Chris, I'm not surprised, and I'm part of that minority. Majority, actually.
You're part of the minority with Filthy Giuseppe as well, you Italians. Unless you're in Burnaby. Full of them.
The majority. I'm with the majority.
Yeah, the majority in Burnaby. I wonder if he's gone to any of those places you recommended to him.
Yeah,
I because before he had Nick Batan, whose parents own a Italian restaurant in White Rock.
Yes.
So that's where he was going.
I thought it was in Delta. Oh, no, Nick Batan's just from Delta.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I agree with the people
answering. It's Phil, right? We were talking about this in the first half. Like, Phil DiGiuseppe's skating on that fourth line. He could play there if the season started tomorrow.
I know. He can play a fourth line role. He has a little bit of skill to add. I would love to see Phil DiGiuseppe get, you know, something like 20 plus games this season. I don't think it hurts your NHL team at all if you're using Phil DiGiuseppe like that.
I'd say he might be better than Jason Dickinson.
Yeah, he could be. Like impact wise at 5-on-5, even, you know, he's killing penalties out there as well. It's good to see him getting that opportunity. I hope that he's another one of these guys who gets a good run in the preseason, you know, gets a chance to play in as many games as possible and make an impact and play with some guys where he might be at the NHL level, right? Like, don't just be on the line with the guys that you're going to be on the top line in the AHL with. Like you kind of said, like, watch him. What is the line? What does the fourth line look like with Lazar, Joshua, and DiGiuseppe? Does it look that much better than what the Dickinson trio looks like? Maybe.
I think it's faster, right?
Does he get a chance to kind of see what he looks like on a penalty kill against like a top team's penalty kill? I love it. I think play him all the time. I think as a call-up option, I was really happy to see Phil DiGiuseppe sign another contract with the Vancouver Canucks and want to come back here. And I think he's going to be a player who is going to play games, I think, specifically over these two, unless Nils Åman just, like, finds it, you know, like, he's able to be a fourth line just guy who's always there and being able to actually contribute on a fourth line, which I don't really think happens this year. Maybe with a year of AHL seasoning, gets a chance for next year. I like Nils Åman down the road as a fourth line option just because of the raw traits that he's already showed us. But for this season specifically, yeah, I think Phil takes this, and I can see why 60% of people are voting that way.
You really Italianize. Oh, did I say Italian? You kind of did. Oh, you really Italianize the...
Next thing you're going to be saying, bagels and pasta.
Yeah. You really Italianized his name, eh?
Well, I've said it so much, yeah.
Well,
Phil DiGiuseppe.
Yeah, you really... The pe.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You could just say Phil DiGiuseppe. I've heard
freaking Riccio over there. He's saying Phil DiGiuseppe. Why is he not saying the last letters?
Dude, that's a question.
He's going too Italian.
A question for Dan Riccio.
You never go full Italian.
You can say Phil DiGiuseppe.
Okay.
Although, it is P-E, and it's not P-I. Right? If it was...
Well, Ilya Mikheyev got that soup deal, right?
Yeah.
We talked with Phil last year. I asked him out there in Abbotsford after scoring the AHL goal of the year. Did he get a call from DiGiuseppe Pizza? Nothing. So maybe if he's an NHL player. It's
Giuseppe's,
whatever. You know what I'm
Giuseppe.
Saying.
Giuseppe.
Well, call it like D. You get two of them, two pizzas in a box. It's the DiGiuseppe.
Half a pizza and you got a D.
Is that what it is? I thought D was two in Italian. Do you know any words in Italian?
Yeah, I know some.
Okay.
I can, if someone yells at me in Italian, I can understand them.
Yeah, because I could tell you, too. They're just swearing probably the whole time.
No, like I can understand the language a lot better than I can speak it. Like, I'm still at the stage, and this is interesting. When you're learning a language, you know the stage when you have to say it in English in your head and then translate it in your head?
Yeah.
You don't think in Italian? I'm not at that stage. I could never think in Italian. I think in English. Don't make some joke. I see you grinning over there. You're about to make some joke about what it means to think in Italian.
People that are born deaf, what language do they think in?
Well, I don't know, because language is a different concept, right? It's like your understanding of things. It's an interesting question. Really thought-provoking stuff here on Canucks Conversation.
That's what I do, man. Bring all the thought-provokers
before
here.
We close out...
I got a whole Google Doc up here to talk about stuff.
Settle down. Okay. You go ahead and give a prospect report. I'll give the injury report after.
I got a prospect injury report. I got both covered.
Okay, hang on. I'll give the injury report then. Ilya Mikheyev is out week to week with a lower body injury. Suffered an injury after that hit from Nick Meloche. I think his name's pronounced.
Okay, now you're just trying to get up on my level with the pronunciation.
Sure, I'll say it. I'll say it like you would. Nick Meloche on Calgary. He hit Ilya Mikheyev, and he's out. Ilya Mikheyev is out, so that's not great.
You just did it a little bit there. I got to get this in real quick. So I was filming one of those stand-up videos that I've been doing for the YouTube yesterday out at UBC, and I got my vax day before, and I didn't, like, have any side effects of this. but like on the first three, but this one, like, I don't know. I felt a little loopy and out of it. I'm recording the video and my brain just like stopped for like 5 seconds because I couldn't remember Andre Kuzmenko's first name. And like the video is hilarious. I just look like an absolute deer in the headlights trying to remember what Kuzmenko's first name is. So I didn't end up posting the video in the end because I went back and watched it and I was like, dude, I look like I'm like, I don't know. I just look like I'm in another world talking about. I was loopy as all heck. I feel a little bit better today though, so that's good.
Yeah, sometimes I end up in that same spot. Okay,
well, that's so, you every time on the pod. You're already whatever. On. You're doing it right now. I see you on TikTok work. Over there.
I'm not on TikTok. You keep saying that.
What are you double tapping on? A freaking Addison Rae videos. No, that's what you're double tapping.
I wasn't
on.
Double tapping anything.
I just saw it.
You know what? We're going to video next week. People are gonna see how much you lie. Wow. They're also going to see how much I'm on my phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm happy. I want
work.
Everything to be seen.
I'm doing work.
Everything's
going to
be
seen
here on
yeah,
the show.
Everything's
they're
going
to see
seen.
See my huge elephant stuffy here too. He's going to make an appearance on the podcast pretty soon. Named him Lou
after Louis Erickson.
Nope, Luongo. Because he's an elephant. Elephant.
Also, folks are going to.
Just leave that there.
Folks are probably going to be happy to hear. Show's going a little shorter when we're 5 days a week. You're not going to hear as much stuff like what you're hearing right now.
We still got. That's the thing. We'll talk. Let's touch on the show.
I was trying to finish my update. People already know this probably, but Brock Besser hand surgery going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So we'll see how long that actually ends up being.
This was being joked about.
We talked about Travis Dermott already.
With,
done.
Yeah, with surgery. Imagine if the Canucks or any other team was just like. You know, say Dak Prescott, he just got his thumb hurt. Imagine if it was like Dak Prescott went through unsuccessful thumb surgery. Like, could you imagine if that ever came out, how much it would blow up? Like, I was like, you know what? We tried to do something and it didn't work. So,
yeah, because they said he underwent successful surgery. Yeah,
like, you can just say he went through surgery. He had a hand. No, hand
well,
surgery.
If they ever say that a player just had surgery, we're going to be like, was it successful?
Yeah, there's a.
Was
there's
it like that Besser one that worked out?
Start doing your digging. There's something there.
Unsuccessful surgery. Oh, jeez. Okay.
You want my. Should we go right into injuries with prospects?
Give us the prospects report and we're done.
All right. Shout out to Res Hockey Podcast. They had Damon Gardner on their show who talked about that he just tore his MCL, so he's going to be out. I don't think MCL's the – you know what? If you're going to tear a CL, I think the MCL is the one you want to tear, right? Yeah, this is – get the video up. Put the video – you're on
your
phone.
You're talking
again.
Of – you
I
know
just
the
saw
MCL.
Your thumb. Your thumb just double-tapped something.
I was texting our friend Bagged Milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, friggin' sending him TikToks. Anyways, Gardner, he's going to be out 2 months. Unfortunate. He's going to go to the USHL. Or he's already in the USHL. That's where he tore his MCL. Jeez, a lot of L's going on here. Especially you on your phone there, freaking TikToks. Anyways, he's going to be back 2 months. Hugo Gabrielsson looking like what I heard. So the Swedish defenseman, Hugo Gabrielsson, looks like he might be back December or January is when we're kind of expecting it. And then I spoke with somebody out in Abbotsford about Carol Plasek, who was at training camp, by the way, at Whistler. I've seen him, somebody posting some pictures taking him with Carol Plasek. Shout out to whoever, like Canucks fans, I know, like they love their team. They're all about it. Somebody like recognizing Carol Plasek, like hell yeah, dude. You are like a top notch Canucks fan if you can pick out Carol Plasek
in
the Whistler Village. Like you just see Carol Plasek walk by, you're like, hey, you're Carol Plasek. Can I get a picture? Like, good for that fan. They are very invested in what Lil Plaz is up to. So that's good stuff there. But Plasek, he's going to be back at least around the team and skating with the team sort of thing. What I heard is late October, mid-October. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah. And we're going to have a training camp out in Abbotsford next week as well. So out at Poco, actually.
Yeah. Going to be fun. Yeah, neck of the woods.
Yeah, we'll be interested because we got the show to do at 1 o'clock. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. We're gonna be fine though. You get to come out to Poco with me when we.
But
maybe some live
maybe
shows from Poco.
That's what I'm saying. We might have to the whole the, setup. Our videos.
Yeah, be we don't. We don't have the Wi-Fi capability to pull that off.
You know how many cords are going off in here?
Yeah, no. We're doing
all right, actual prospects
here.
Update though. Yanni Yermo scored his first goal of Liga. Good for him. Wired a slap shot. Nice to see that. I think it was like 117 kilometers an hour or something. I don't know. Hell yeah. Jonathan Lekaramäki, not a great performance on Wednesday morning. Played 11 minutes, was on the ice for 3 goals against. He just did not look super engaged at 5-on-5, and you know, the other team was scoring on him quite a bit. One of those goals comes at one of those goals is an empty netter. One of them comes when he was actually out on a 4-on-5 at one point. Just looking at the stat sheets, that was kind of interesting there. I don't know if he's killing penalties or not. I haven't got back and watched the game. But talk to somebody who did, and yeah, they weren't very impressed with him again. So we'll have to see what happened with Lekkerimäki if that mono is kind of hurting him. Still, there's another injury update for your prospects right there. To see him kind of continue on with Allsvenskan, I think we'll have to see once the season really gets rolling here what Lekkerimäki's impact is. But we'll see what happens with him moving forward. So not much else to report. We do have Northeastern. So I'll shout out to Aiden McDonough, friend of the show, Jackson Dorrington as well, a defenseman who the Canucks just drafted. Northeastern is going to get going early this weekend as well. So some actual NCAA footage to kind of chat about too. Another wrinkle to my prospects coverage coming when the NCAA fires up. So I'm pumped for that. That's all I really got for prospects report. But you know what's cool? And we'll do this. We'll close out here talking about the live show, which starts on Monday. And we're not going to do an episode this weekend. This is episode 300. It feels like a good place to end off this chapter of the podcast.
Yeah, new era.
With everything launching on Monday, yeah, 5 days a week starting next week. That's going to be wild. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those are the days of the work week, quads.
Someone's going to make a point, and someone has made the point to me, that we should stop calling them episode 300, episode 301, and we should date them.
Yes, like, and I think that's why we might be episode. Just stopping at 300.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is a good little ending point here. We'll take the weekend off. We're going to be back at it on Monday at 1 o'clock live here on video and everything on YouTube, which we ran through a lot of tests today. And you know what was really cool? I hope people go to YouTube and, like, obviously, don't worry. If you're just a podcast listener and that's all you want, it's going to be there. Nothing's going to change from that. Same feed, same everything. But we ran through something today where I was like, hey, if I'm chatting about a prospect and I have a clip on Twitter,
yeah,
can it be pulled up in the video? And he showed it that, you know, our producer, Alex, who did an excellent job just with everything and explaining to our dumbasses.
So pretty much he's going to help the show so much.
And it was cool with Alex. Like, I'm pumped that he's going to be our producer coming onto the show and helping us with this. But it was like every idea that we had, he was able to, like, figure out. Like, I think Alex is a good producer. I think he's going to be smart to... maybe the smartest guy of this trio moving forward here.
No kidding.
For sure. We'll see. So, like, it was cool, though. I'm talking about the Yanni Yermo thing, and he's like, yeah, like, I can pull that up, and it kind of splits the camera. Then when you and I are on the left, the video is going to play. So, like, YouTube's going to be a lot of fun for people that want to, even, you know, if you just want to watch, like, the prospects report, I think that's going to be something that'll have a little bit more of a video component to it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
As we see. We also need to clean things up on the live here. I can't wait. Can't wait for people to see what you look like during the podcast. You're over here on your phone all the time. You know, well, we got to run. Yeah, you got to freaking run.
I do got to run.
Go get better Wi-Fi on your TikToks over there.
All right, we'll close it out there. For my co-host, Chris Faber, my name is David Wardrelli.
Thank you for listening to
300 episodes of Canucks Convo. I wasn't closing out. I'm not rushing anybody because I got to say, I joined this show for episode 60. That was my first episode ever. And we've done that many episodes together.
Plus emergency
neither of us
pods.
Can do math. Not going to try.
Well, I think with emergencies, I bet we're over 250.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool.
Well, aren't we over? Oh, no.
Together.
Mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't. Yeah, I know.
At math.
You and simple.
Nope. Not our strong suit.
Oh, I am good at simple math. You know this. I'm good at the simple math stuff.
You're better than I am. That's for sure. I wouldn't say you're good.
I don't know. I was in elementary school. I was the one who was getting those multiplication sheets.
So was I. It's been a long time.
No, I was number one.
It's been a long time for me.
Me and Nam Fam. I've talked about this on the show before.
Nam Fam. Yeah. I forgot about Nam Fam.
Yeah, me and Nam had a rivalry in those things back in the day. Anyways, yeah. Go back and listen to the old episode for that. But yeah, no episode this weekend. We're going to be firing things up Monday.
Hitting the ground running,
folks. 1 o'clock, right?
Am I getting this right? 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, and we're going to be going for a minimum of 30 minutes, maximum 45.
Yeah, five shows a week. We're going to see how everything runs. Please come by the old YouTube channel. You might know this better than I did. Nation Network YouTube channel. Yep. That's where we are going to be.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to see how that goes, too. I mean, we'll see what happens.
And we'll be tweeting out the links. So, you know, got some people that say they don't want to subscribe to the Nation Network YouTube channel because they don't want to be... have a bunch of oily boy stuff
I've
on
there. Seen the comments they're saying that's the only thing I'm looking
people,
at there
people and you know what we might do it one day we'll see but not today
oh, I'm gonna
when we launch go. It's going to be on the Nation Network YouTube channel live shows starting at 1 o'clock every Monday
and it looks great
tell
you what we got a city view we got like three different cameras going.
We've got a nice setup we're excited
it's like a little I don't want to say low budget but it's not high end I built all this myself
yeah we did it
we you showed up here We need to get you a chair still.
Yeah, I'm on a patio chair.
And you're on an outside patio chair. You might be. Well, I'll get you one on the weekend.
We'll be good. All right, we'll close it out there for my co-host, Chris Faber. My name is David Pujoli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.